What if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Scarrett and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Welcome back to the Brand Archetypes Podcast, everyone. This is Kevin Scarrett, and I'm with Amy Zander. Not Andy Zander, it's one with Amy Zander. Hi, Amy, how are you today?
I'm good, Kevin.
You can call early.
You can call me Andy. It's fine. I'll answer.
Okay. Answer to anything.
Right.
Okay, well, we're going to look at a little different thing here. Instead of talking directly about archetypes, we're going to take a look at a very specific brand today, and it was interesting how it happened. A couple of days ago, I was driving by our local, strip of stores along the main street, small town, and something caught my eye. I looked to the right, and I saw not just the big sign outside of the Rite Aid pharmacy, but the new signs that were going up on the building. So they had the old sign out by the street and the new signs on the building itself. I'm like, oh, they're going through the rebranding process. I heard about it earlier in the year, I think they started it in February, and I think I heard about it in late March, early April, but actually saw the signs changing. And so, I decided to actually look into it a little bit more and thought it would be a really interesting thing for us to talk about today. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's good. It always grabs my attention when I see a business with a new sign or a new logo or something. I'm like, oh, what's going on there, So, I think this is a great topic.
Yeah. My thinking was, are they just updating their logo? Are they actually trying to accomplish something more substantial? Or, are they really truly changing their brand? Are they changing their operations? What exactly is going on? So that's kind of what happened when I started taking the little deep dive into it. So anyway, knowing that we were going here, we kind of set us to the task of doing a little bit of intel work. What did you find?
Yeah, so I found the press release early in March that they described the changes that they're making. And there's a few things that the press release said. They plan on spending over $700 million over the next 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. Their plan is to build a store of the future to attract a new audience. They want more females and Gen Xers and millennials. According to Eric Kepner, Rite Aid's CMO, the chain will be revamping not just their identity, like their logo, but also their store layout and operations, including an overhauling of their merchandise to provide a more well-rounded approach to health and wellness. So, the new logo was developed by Sway Creative Labs out of Virginia, and it's hoped by the Rite Aid's leadership to signal to consumers the radical change underway at the store. So, in a minute, we're going to talk about the two different logos. And for our listeners, we have a picture in our show notes and stuff like that, so you can see the differences. Changes to their merchandise will include more products that are clean label, cruelty-free, and sustainable. So that's right on track with the trends that are going on for environment-friendly products. And the products will revolve around stress management, nutrition, and caring for families. Some of their new services will include telehealth and workflow changes. And the pharmacy will include a more open layout, allowing the pharmacy staff to come out to interact personally with customers. And I found this really interesting.
That's the one thing that I saw of all the list of change. I think that's the most interesting. It'll be fun to talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk about what we see is good and bad about what we're seeing in this whole process. And So, and I guess a question I would have for you, Amy, is, you know, what, you know, from what you've seen about all these changes, you know, what does it feel like to you? Does this really truly feel like a rebranding the way that we talk about rebranding? You know, do you think this is just a tweak? You know, what do you think?
Well, I do and I don't. So they're definitely pushing the whole idea of the future and this more open plan layout, and they're getting on board with the telehealth mm-hmm. and the more health-centric, you know, kind of thought process and more green things. So that's on trend. In mm-hmm. one article I read on drugstorenews.com, it stated that Rite Aid plans to build the store of the future, like we said, that can appeal to younger consumers while including the pharmacy of the future. And like we said, that's what I think is the most interesting, because that does change not only their logo and that kind of thing, but how the store is completely laid out and how they're interacting with their customers. I mean, like when you go into a drugstore, the pharmacy's kind of like always all at the back, and there's the guy in the white coat or woman in the white coat behind the glass, and they seem like unattainable or, you know, whatever. Now it's going to be more friendly and interactive. And I think, I mean, that from that perspective, that is a total brand change. That's just that emotional connection of interacting more and being more of customer service.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling the same way. You know, what was a little concerning to me as I'm reading through some of the, you know, the corporate-ese PR, you know, press release kind of information, it kind of felt like a lot of talk, a lot of words, you know, being used, you know, trying to sound grandiose and like a big deal. But, you know, I kind of feel like the average consumer probably won't pick up on this other than they'll see the signs change and, you know, they'll say, oh, yeah, they changed the logo. But years from now, I don't know if anybody will really, you know, really see it as a meaningful change, you know, something that really impacts them and, you know, how they view the corporation. There are, like you said, though, there are some things that really could be game changers. So I could be wrong on that whole years from now perspective. It seemed a little, the big release, you know, talking about things like radical change seemed a little watered down, you know, so let's see what happens a year from now. But,
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting. It does seem like they determined that consumers want more access to the pharmacist, so they're encouraging more interaction with the open floor plan. And it'll be interesting to see if they kind of set the trend or the change for other pharmacies like Walgreens or even in like other big stores like Walmart and things like that have pharmacies, if they start to adopt this kind of thing. I mean, in that sense, if that's the case, if they're going to be the trendsetter in this new way that pharmacies are laid out, then it will really be a complete rebrand like that. It, like you said, it'll be interesting to see like a year or two from now how much has changed in the industry, let alone just Rite Aid.
Yeah. So what about the logo? That it's pretty, you know, pretty predictable as far as logos go.
Right. Well, you're the logo guy, so you tell me your thoughts first, and then I'll tell you how I feel.
Well, okay, yeah, sure. I like the new look and feel. I like the freshness, the color change, the simplicity. The font selection is nice. I like the switch. This is probably the thing I like about it the most. The switching from just a shield with text in it to where they now have icons or graphic components. You know, there's a mortar and a pestle with leaves sticking out of it. And since the icon portion of the logo is kind of standalone, I could see how they could use that separately. They probably won't. They'll probably keep everything all tight and together and all as one whole thing. But there is, I think, some added flexibility that they could draw on from taking that new approach. The lingo that we would use is that the logo type was embedded in this signature and now it could be standalone. I'm really not convinced that the logo conveys how they said it in one of the press releases, the radical changes happening at the store. I'm not sure that when someone looks at that logo, they'll say, oh, wow, there must be some radical changes going on in that store.
Right.
I don't know if anybody's ever going to say that. But, another little kind of tweaky thing that hit my brain is the leaves themselves. Yeah, you know, I'm one for elegant simplicity and less is more as a concept. I'm not really sure what the leaves are doing as a graphic element. You know, they can convey this freshness and greenness and environmental kind of thing. But they never really overtly said that in any of their press releases. They didn't say that that was an objective and that was a concept that they were trying to convey. So I'm not really sure if the leaves are definitely needed. So I don't know. What about you?
Well, I'm going to comment on that last thing you just said first before I go into the logo, because I just thought about this. But, you know, because words matter and how they're rolling this out and how they're describing it, like the radical change would sound like more of like an outlaw concept or something like that, something with a lot more energy. But what they're really going for is more of a down-to-earth, lower-keyed, greener, friendlier, interactive thing. So,
Innocent.
So I think the logo sort of conveys that part of it, but it doesn't, exactly like you said, it doesn't tie in with how they're explaining or the words that they're using to explain this new change. It's like it's there's a disconnect there. But so the logo, I don't dislike it, but I also don't think it conveys the future concept that they seem to be front and center of this new brand. And if I'm completely honest, I like the old one better. It's more classic and overall. Yeah. And I don't really see that one single concept emerging. You have the future of the layout, which again could be like explorer or magician. The greener concept in the logo, like you said, is more like innocent. The open floor plan is neighbor. They need something to tie this all together. And I can, you know, we can make a strong case for any of these, the explorer with the future or the innocent with the greener. It just seems a little bit all over the place.
Yeah, my concern is that they describe changes that they're making, you know, they're including their identity, their logo, and they talk about their shift in what they want their target audience to be. But they really haven't defined how they're going to connect with people. You know, this emotional connection, what we see as, you know, the true story of brand is, you know, the powerful connection that you're trying to make. And if your emotions in your presentation are kind of all over the place, then, you know, what is your launch going to look like? So, you know, what is the emotion that they're trying to evoke? You know, is it that radical outlaw or is it that fresh and clean innocent? Yeah, I'm not sure about that. And that's probably the biggest issue that I have is after this much research, you know, we should be able to feel the emotions being evoked by the presentation, by the rebranding logistical and operational efforts. We should be able to see it and feel it in the logo itself, you know, not hugely, but we should at least get it. And I'm not seeing it or getting it. So I'm a little lackluster on a lot of things, but there are some things to get excited about, you know. So
right.
You know.
So far in the marketing material that I've seen, like in the press releases and stuff that we've done, it they're talking a lot about what they're going to do and how mm-hmm. they're changing, but they haven't really described how the experience for the consumer and the user is going to go. Like, and I think if they did that, that would go a long way to invoking that emotion and how us as consumers, why should we care about this change? And and that's definitely missing. So you're right about that point. So if we could wave a magic wand and put ourselves in the role of the CMO of Rite Aid, not to say that Rite Aid, mm-hmm. not to say that they've done anything wrong, but mm-hmm. to talk about what possibilities might have been missed. What would you do differently, Kevin?
Okay, so I actually, in the process of starting the research for this, even before you and I talked, I asked my wife why she shops at Rite Aid, you know, not just driving through the drive-thru for the pharmaceuticals, but, you know, why she actually shops there. And not surprisingly, her answers were very much tied to the pharmacy itself. She likes that our health records are in their database, that they're a nationwide chain. You know, a great story to kind of drive home that point is we were on vacation one time in Wyoming. We needed to get a refill for a prescription. We called up the store, had the records were, of course, available in their database. But just had to confirm who we are and picked up the prescription. It was, you know, easy peasy. So, but she also said that other than the pharmacy, that she likes that some of the products that are there are either specialty items or they're not available anywhere else. And she knows that they're there. So, you know, when she's in the process of, you know, needing those products, she goes there. You know, some of the products are just purchased out of convenience. You know, I asked her, you know, do you actually go out of your way to shop there outside of your other shopping? You know, we have a big grocery store, local Michigan chain called Meijer, and that's where we do all of our grocery shopping. And, you know, my curiosity was, is there any shopping that she does where she thinks to herself, I need to go to Rite Aid versus I need to go to Meijer for shopping? And she said that she doesn't. She doesn't really go out of her way to buy chips and magazines and, you know, all the other stuff that they have there, like electronics and office supplies. And, you know, Rite Aid has a lot of stuff there, but it's not really the destination for that kind of shopping, right? So what if the pharmacy is trying to make this kind of a change, and if they were to switch their entire operations and their merchandise over to health and wellness? This is kind of a big concept. It's, you know, certainly not trying to force the CMO at Rite Aid to change their operations, but, you know, since this is an intellectual exercise, it was hard for me not to go there. But let's imagine that they took all that other extraneous stuff out, you know, the magazines and the office supplies and all that stuff that people are just buying kind of incidentally. And let's say we add a whole new section of the store that offered, like, you know, yoga classes and nutritional information and, you know, meditation classes and products. And, you know, customers would come in and they would do more than just pick up their pharmaceuticals. They would see it as a destination for their health and wellness. You know, you could have, you know, acupressure and massage therapy. There are all kinds of stuff that are related to health and wellness that suddenly the store would become a destination, that people would be in the store for these other products and services, and then the upsells can happen. It's not just a circumstantial, you know, coincidental thing. Oh, yeah, by the way, I need to pick up chips for the party this weekend, right? Taking this kind of approach, you know, there's a lot of things that could happen. And what do you think?
Yeah.
Any ideas there?
Yeah, I do think that expanding it like that and making it more of a health destination would set it apart from all the other corner pharmacies that are out there. Tapping into both the pure health and wellness concept, as well as having products that only they carry, I think would go to kind of like what Francie said was, you know, there's some items she can only get there and she'll get them, you know, when she's there. I think that could definitely help. I mean, like you said, I mean, like, we have the big Meijer, it's similar to like a Walmart. I mean, we can get pretty much anything we need there. So yeah, there has to be a reason to go to a different store.
Right. And, you know, I think that would also, changing a product line like that would drive further the concept that, you know, they're the health and wellness oriented, as opposed to, you know, I don't think that chips and, you know, batteries and People magazine and, you know, I don't think that really pushes the health and wellness concept very much.
Right. More just like
personal opinion.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Just like impulse buys.
Right. Yeah. Right. You know, you could separate the store into sections. You know, let's say you come into the store, you know, the big signs overhead, you can see things like, you know, not feeling well, or stress reduction, or the nutrition area, or looking good, feeling good, you know, right. Whatever the signs say,
right.
You would know where to go. You know, like right now, if I want to buy some stress relieving nutritional products and a, you know, back massager and some valerian root or a, you know, a white noise machine for better sleep. You know, they're all stress related products, but where do I get each of those in the store right now? I have to go hunt for them, and I have to go look in the electronics area, and I got to go to the nutritional area, and I got to go to the books area, and I'm not even sure if they have it all. But
if I'm in the stress reduction area and I'm picking up a back massager, I'm going to see all these other things. The upsell possibilities are great. Now, you know, that's a pretty huge operational change, a logistical change. You know, you have to ask which is easier to find, a single product that you're looking for, or putting all of the products together in one location. By concept, that's obviously people are going to have different opinions about that, but you know, just something to throw out just for the sake of discussion. I think there's a lot of opportunity there, since they are talking about changing their layout. That is for sure. Maybe not the whole store, but definitely they're talking about a big layout change for the pharmacy.
I think that's a great idea. I mean, like when I think about going into like Better Health or Whole Foods or some kind of store like that, I usually go in there to look for different kinds of supplements and things like that. And almost always they're arranged just like alphabetically, which is, you know, helpful to find them. But I'm often don't know exactly what I'm looking for, but I know what symptom I'm looking to help. And so if you had that, like, oh, just the whole stress relief section or sleep better section or whatever, I mean, that to me, that would be really helpful.
Yeah. Even if it was just a couple of areas like that where the product line is duplicated, you know, like if you've got valerian root and white noise machines on an end rack, you know, the end of the aisle rack. Mm-hmm. And you put all those products together like that with a big sign, but you still had the valerian root, the nutritional area, you still had the white noise machine in the electronic area. At least doing it like that, you're bringing it up to people in a very conscientious way. Hey, here are these other products that you might be considering, right?
Right. So are you gonna open a pharmacy soon then, Kevin? You got a lot of good ideas.
I don't know, maybe if, you know, Rite Aid gives me a call, you know,
right,
be able to strike up a deal.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I am looking forward to the open pharmacy idea.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of Apple. You know, when you walk into an Apple store, there's no cash register, there's no person standing behind a desk. There's, you know, they're not tucked in the back of the store, you know, waiting for you. They approach you. They've got a tablet. The entire transaction is done out in the open on big wide tables. Everything is airy and clean and fresh. And I think that's kind of the approach that they're going to be taking with Rite Aid. They definitely want to have the pharmacist come out from behind the counter, from behind that, you know, bulletproof glass wall.
And, right.
You know, interacting with people in a much more human way. And I'm really looking forward to that. So that's kind of exciting. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff that we've talked about, right?
Yeah, we've covered a lot of ideas. And, you know, of course, not everything we said should be taken as a formal plan. It's just our spitballing ideas. But I think it shows how deep one can go if your thinking is to change how you connect with people, with the idea of eliciting a specific emotion, you know, thinking about your archetypes, instead of just making minor adjustments to your current operations or logo or something like that. Sometimes there's a lot to consider when you're rebranding.
Yep. I think that they are doing an okay job. But yeah, on that point, a huge point that you just made, you know, it's really about creating that single focus of how you're going to connect with people. I'm not sure 100% that they've done that really well, but there are some pretty exciting things going on.
Yeah.
So to give us a wrap up.
Yeah. So if you found this discussion interesting, or you want to know more about brand archetypes, or you're wondering what your archetype is for your company, you can go to brandarchetypes.com. We have a free questionnaire in the upper left-hand corner you can take and see what kind of archetypes pop up with how you're thinking about your company. And if you have any questions about that, give us a call. You want to talk more in depth about it. We love to talk about brand all the time. We also have word lists that are associated with every archetype. So if you're looking for some words and phrases and ideas to go along with the archetype that you're thinking about for your company, you can get those from us for $29.95 per word bank. And of course, follow us on all the social platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, all those good things, at Brand Archetypes.
And thank you for your time this week, Amy.
Yeah.
Talk to you next week.
Yep. Sounds good, Kevin. Have a good week.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com, where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.